Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining me today as co-host is Alex Fisher, no relation, president and CEO of Columbus Partnership. Courtesy of the other paper, Alex and I wound up in a bit of a competition a few weeks ago after we bested the rest of nine notables in the NCAA brackets for March Madness. Before our respective picks faced off, we added some sauce to the mix. Alex would make a donation to WOSU Public Media if I won, and I would invite him to co-host a show if he won. He won. But it's really been a win-win. I want to thank Columbus Partnership for making a contribution to WOSU anyway, and I want to welcome Alex to the show as my co-host today. Welcome to the show.
And it's great to be here.
You decided you wanted to talk shop today. Tell us what you want to talk about.
I did, but first, I mean, this is WOSU, the Ohio State University Public Radio. And
yeah.
Who did you pick OSU to lose to?
I can't even remember anymore. I think it was UConn or something.
I think it was Kentucky. How's that work?
See, I don't even remember.
I can't believe that they still allow you on campus.
What was it? How many people actually picked the right brackets all the way? Two people in the whole country or something like that? I think I did pretty well.
You did okay, but it's hard to pick against the hometown team.
I'm a standout, so yeah.
Hey, it's great to be here. Our topic today is regionalism. It's in the news. Our Columbus 2020 plan is all about a new regional economic development plan, government cooperation, and governments doing more with less are certainly in the news with state budget situation. Bob Evans and Columbia Gas with major economic development announcements, but some would term them as controversial moves within our region. Today at lunch at the Convention Center, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission will highlight the state of our region. So there's lots to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up later, we'll hear from Chester Jordan of the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. The Ohio State University President Gordon Gee will join us for a conversation about how economic development impacts higher education and vice versa. But right now, we would like to welcome Kenny McDonald, who is the CEO of Columbus 2020, a new regional partnership intended to leverage Central Ohio's assets into the fastest-growing economy in the country. Welcome, Kenny.
Glad to be here, Alex and Ann.
Kenny joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he was one of the leading economic developers in the country. And maybe we'll start there, because Charlotte, in the region that you represented, had 16 counties and was in two states. And perhaps you could give us a little context about how the regional conversations were happening in another community.
Yeah, we're always hearing about the research triangle and how cool it is. Tell us. What's so cool?
Maybe we weren't as cool as Raleigh in Charlotte either. Mm-hmm. But communities like Charlotte, Nashville, Birmingham, even Atlanta and places like that in the South and throughout the country have been working on regionalism for 10, 15, in some cases 20, 25 years. And economic development is a key component of that. In Charlotte, our group had been in place for about 20 years, and having a regional dialogue about economic development and marketing and promoting itself as a region around the world. And we have to play a little catch-up here in Columbus, but the great thing is we have wonderful assets to do that with.
When you were brought here, did you do it because you like a challenge? Is that the kind of person you are?
No, actually, two great reasons. I can't think of another community that has put together such a fantastic public-private partnership, and I think it'll allow us to leapfrog a lot of people. The way that we've put this Columbus 2020 initiative together, and number two, I think it's an undervalued asset. I think once you put your feet on the ground here, there's more depth in almost every way in this community than there is in any other place that I've been.
So you and your family have been here for 6 months. Do you find Columbus cool? That's been a topic of conversation a lot lately.
I have three kids in a minivan. I don't know if I'm in that scene very much. But I will tell you, with the big companies that we have here and with it being a college town and a nonprofit center of excellence in a bunch of different ways, I have been exposed to some unbelievable people and organizations across this region and that I don't think exist a lot of other places. So for me, I think it's fantastic.
So your plan is Columbus 2020. Is it a regional plan or is it a City of Columbus plan?
It's absolutely regional. Right now, we're defined by an 8-county metropolitan area. So Franklin County, all the adjacent counties and communities to that, including Morrow County, define our MSA. And what we market is the collective assets, all the talent, the people, the organizations, the leverage we have in that footprint.
Why? Well, first of all, I just want to remind folks, if you're just tuning in, my guests, Kenny McDonald, Chief Economic Officer for Columbus 2020, and my co-host is Alex Fisher. He's President and CEO of Columbus Partnership. If you have a question or comment, we welcome them. Give us a call at 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, and we have that great new Facebook opportunity on our new website at wosu.org/allsides if you would rather just make your remarks there. Kenny McDonald, why is something like Columbus 2020 even necessary? Why isn't the Chamber of Commerce doing that already? And, you know, the governor's talking about Jobs Ohio. That might be ended up in litigation, but be that as it may, I mean, do you need yet another branch of economic development out there swishing in the wind?
It takes all of those organizations. The Columbus Chamber is absolutely 100% a partner. We're co-located with them, and a bunch of their staff is actually waking up every morning helping us with this regional effort. We can't cast enough nets to market and promote this community and this region around the world. And so Columbus 2020 is really about an all-out assault in every way to attract jobs, to retain and grow jobs, and to help small entrepreneurs start companies here.
When you cast lots of nets, do you dilute? Is there a dilution process in that, though, that you have people out doing different things and resources are limited, as we know?
I actually think that Columbus 2020 provides a focal point for it. Okay. So we're now hosting people almost every week in exposing people to the market, and we're really turning people's heads around the country already, even in just a few short months of being operational.
So the governor's turning economic development upside down in the state of Ohio and reengineering it with Jobs Ohio. Kenny, how do you see the governor's plan, and how does it fit with the regional plans of Columbus 2020 and others around the state?
Well, we need Ohio to be strong if Central Ohio is going to achieve its full potential. I know arguably the Columbus region has done better than a lot of areas of the state, but by the governor bringing economic development up as topic number one, I think that also brings a lot of attention to things. That's good.
So one of the governor's early successes has been maintaining the corporate headquarters of Bob Evans, who recently made a decision to stay in Central Ohio, albeit change change communities. Can you talk about that decision from a regional economic development perspective?
First, let's hear the governor talk about that.
We're not going to be able to help every company that wants to have help. But I tell you, if you can't help Bob Evans, who can you help in the state of Ohio?
Kenny?
Well, number one, our initiative, and I think everyone's initiative, is to create and make the pie bigger. But we have wonderful companies all across this region that are growing and have to blow out walls and add more people and look at new facilities from time to time. And that requires physical relocation sometimes.
Well, heaven knows there's plenty of room on the south side of Columbus to expand. So I guess when it comes to things like Bob Evans talking in terms of something like that, how do you work with competition within a region? And how do people know that Columbus 2020 isn't going to favor one company or one set of interests over another?
Almost our entire focus is in attracting new and surfacing opportunities. When those opportunities arise from existing companies, which 70 or 80% of the new job creation will come from that, mm-hmm. we need to celebrate that those companies are recommitting to our region and keeping those jobs in Ohio.
I think that celebration is really important. I mean, we have to respect the decisions of companies that have to make for their employees and for their own operations, and that they'll do that in a manner that is best for the individual companies. But when they decide to stay in our community and invest tens of millions of dollars in commit to hiring employees, we've got to learn in Central Ohio how to win. And part of learning how to win is to celebrate the successes that you have and make sure that you're telling the world about great companies like Bob Evans making reinvestments in your community.
When it comes to things like tax breaks for companies that decide to create new jobs or relocate here or move around or stay, folks often wonder, would they have just stayed anyways without the tax breaks? And it does get down to that, you know, what kind of edge did New Albany have over Columbus? And it's not taking away, I don't think that people want to take away from the celebration as much as they're wondering, well, could it have happened anyways? And did it have to happen without giving away so much?
2 points on that. Number one is I think we really have to dig into this issue and get the facts and figures about, you know, taking a look historically over the last 5 or 10 years about the companies that have made moves. And there are many that have moved around the region, both mm-hmm. small and there are some significant ones that tend to grab headlines.
Right.
First, we need to get the details and the information so that we can have a rational regional dialogue around that. I think that'll be very important for us to move forward, and we're going to be analyzing and studying that issue. The second part of that is that having incentives and being competitive globally and with all these other communities that are knocking on our door, on our company's doors every day, is absolutely imperative for us to compete. It is the tools we have are necessary. As an economic developer, if that company is in another part of the country and we get a chance at it, I will tell you that we will go after it as strongly as we possibly can, bringing all of our resources aboard. And even if they're not as serious when they start the project, we want to make them serious. And I would suspect that other communities feel the same way. So we treat all those instances with absolute seriousness.
So you've had successes with companies like Bob Evans recommitting, but what about companies like Boar's Head, who recently have announced a major investment to come from outside our region? Can you talk about that project?
Absolutely. So our team is somewhere in the world every week, and they're marketing this region. They're servicing real opportunities. A company like Boar's Head, who has arguably had taken us off the list for their investment and was looking at other regions around the country, we were able to get back on the list with Boar's Head. And through the Logistics Council and a lot of other allies, we're able to turn their head towards Columbus and cement that investment here.
How do you get back on a list like that? Do you actually pick up the phone and call some big shot at Boar's Head and start talking to them? How does that work?
Absolutely. So it is a grind. It is pounding the pavement. It is being in the right place at the right time. And that means you have to be out from behind your desk on a plane or driving around your region, knocking on companies' doors that are here already and asking them how we can help them and then connecting them to all the wonderful resources and programs that already exist here.
So in the Boar's Head instance, they had concerns about our workforce in Central Ohio, but you connected them with a series of 4 or 5 HR directors at key companies. What was their conclusion after the couple of days that they spent?
Point being that they were talking to HR people at other companies who could tell them there's plenty of people here that can do the job?
We actually set those meetings up for them, and after 24 hours of that, 4 or 5 very lengthy interviews with people who hire and fire and look for talent here, they came away from that saying, that's no longer an issue at all. We have no concerns at all about our workforce.
Where would they have come up with a concern about the workforce in the first place?
You know, Ann,
I
think this goes to the perception. It goes to the perception of Ohio and Columbus and why we've got to work hard. And this is where I think the governor's absolutely on the right track. We have got to work harder at making sure that we dispel many of the rumors around the country about our high cost of labor, about issues of organized labor that have a dominance that aren't true. We have great relationships in our companies with organized labor, about the cost of doing business. There are perceptions around the country, and I think this project and many others bear that out.
We have to take a break, and Kenny McDonald, I know you thought you were going to get out of here, but I'd like you to stay for the next segment. When we have Chester Jordan, Executive Director of the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, joining us. So keep the calls coming. We'll get to them, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about regional economic development and what it means and how it works. Is it a sprint or is it a marathon? We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Jane Clayson. Coming up on the next On Point, reporters from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just won a Pulitzer for their story on genetic sequencing and a young boy fighting for his life. They join us. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins later this afternoon at 1 o'clock here on 89.7 NPR News. 45 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today, and a pretty nice day, a high of 56 degrees. There is a chance of rain tonight, a low of 38 degrees, and then showers and thunderstorms, heavy rain at times for Friday, and a high of 58. The rain continues Friday night with a low of 50 degrees, and more showers and thunderstorms are likely for Saturday, a high of 72. And rain is also possible as we look ahead to Sunday with a high of 72. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My co-host today, my guest co-host, is Alex Fisher, no relation. He is president and CEO of Columbus Partnership. Alex, once again, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks a bunch, Ann. It's a lot of fun. Chester, welcome to the show. Chester Jordan, the executive director of MORPC. You've got a big day today. Tell us what's happening at lunch.
Yeah, thanks, Alex and Ann. Today is our State of the Region luncheon. It's our opportunity, Alex had mentioned earlier, about celebrating. This is about celebrating Central Ohio. So we have 1,000 of our closest friends coming together to say, hey, you know, we've got, obviously there's great challenges, but also there's great things to talk about, there's great things to say, and also there's a story to tell here. And that's the, I think that's the tremendous, thing we need to do a better job of.
So who gets to go to this luncheon?
Well, everybody does. I mean, this is about bringing together the community. This is about bringing together our community leaders, our business leaders, our political leaders, our universities. What great assets we have in Central Ohio. And this is about bringing them together to celebrate, but also to help us do a better job of telling our story. I'm from Texas. We're not shy about telling our story. We need to go out and tell our story.
You came from Texas. I mean, do we do it better or worse than Texas from a regional collaboration standpoint?
Well, I think regional collaboration is always a challenge. It's something you have to work out. Kenny talked about the grind, something you have to work out every single day. I think one of the things that we don't do a good job of is kind of our Midwestern values. It's a little bit more shy. It's a little bit where, you know, we're a little bit kind of apologetic, if you will.
You have to get to know us.
That's right. That's right. And so part of it is we have to overcome that very quickly.
I have a question for you and Kenny. Again, Kenny McDonald's with us, too. He's the CEO of Columbus 2020. In the prospectus for Columbus 2020, Kenny and also Chester, when you talk about assets and challenges, you note that 2/3 of the nation's energy research and expertise is located in Columbus. But on the deficit side or challenge side, I guess, it says that Columbus has no distinct competitive identity. And I wonder, how can that be in the business world that you can have that sort of coalescence of power and influence, yet no distinct identity?
Well, number one, I think we have a very diverse community. We have a lot of stories to tell, and that means that it's hard to tell them all. But I'll give you a story from yesterday. We hosted somebody who is a location advisor, does work for companies all over the world. Exposed him to our market yesterday just for 24 hours, took him to Battelle for a cook's tour of what Battelle is doing. By the time he left, the 24 hours that he was here, his eyes were opened across the board, and says, you know, you're doing the right things with this initiative. You got to continue to tell this story because I can't believe all the stuff that I learned today.
So we've been on the sidelines, though, right? I mean, where have we been for the last couple of decades in telling this story?
Yeah, Chester, what's been going on? What have you been doing, Chester?
Well, I think if you listen to Bill Lafayette at the Chamber, it talks a lot about we don't boom or bust. We always do pretty good. Mm-hmm. So it's always been kind of easy, if you will, to some degree, because we've had Ohio State, we've had the state capitol, we've had Nationwide, we've had Battelle. So it's always kind of been easy for us. But I think, if nothing else, the last couple of years has showed us the world has fundamentally changed. And our competition, I would argue, from a regional perspective, is not Cleveland or Cincinnati or Dayton. And I would even argue it's not Indiana or even Texas. I would argue it's Brazil, Russia, India, China. So it's a fundamental difference now. And I think we have to do is just like Kenny and his team is doing. We have to go out. We have to get on planes and trains and buses. We are going to have to go out and tell our story.
Look, I mean, I think, Kenny, we're probably 95 days into the Columbus 2020 10-year vision. But Chester, to your point, that competition certainly isn't the city of Columbus and New Albany,
that's right,
and Dublin and any of the various combinations. And we've got to elevate the conversation in economic development so that people understand that what's good for downtown is good for the suburbs. What's good in Delaware County is great for downtown.
How does that work, though? How is it good for the people on the south side of Columbus to lose not only an economic anchor, but an emotional anchor that somebody still believes in them? How do they stay up when a place like New Albany that appears to be rolling in dough can just take them away and get a little bit of an edge over the city of Columbus and what they can offer?
I think one of the things you do is you look at the commitment of Bob Evans to the South Side, continuing their commitment to making sure that their property is redeveloped. The fact that the state's incentives that were put together as a part of that package, that half of them were for the redevelopment of the South Side properties. So you have to dig a little deeper. And certainly, no individual community wants to lose. But we have to not put it in the context of winning and losing. We have to put it in the context of a rising tide is going to raise all the boats in the harbor, and that what we have to have is a strong regional economy if, in fact, the South Side or any other community is going to thrive into the future.
Just real quick, Chester, before I get away from that, Ann, mm-hmm. I think it's a critical point that we make here. One of the challenges we have as a region is we've always seen that the competition is between Dublin and Columbus. We've always seen is that, or between Dublin and New Albany, whatever the case is. Now it's correct. That is, if that's the battle, then we've lost the war here. But also part of our challenge is the way that we fund our local communities,
right,
through property taxes and sales taxes and through income tax. And
right,
part of that is we're going to fundamentally relook at that and think what it is that we need to do that's going to help us be able to be competitive in the new marketplace.
And, Kenny, this was the study you were talking about, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we got to get the facts. And I think if we sit down with the companies that have made these moves, and again, small and large, make these moves on an ongoing basis, and they do it for the reasons that Chester is talking about and others, we need to get the facts, and we need to do a thorough analysis of this and then have a very rational dialogue and take action.
One thing we know is that particularly young people, creative people, want a strong center city. They want a strong Columbus. And so that's what you're talking about, Chester. When Columbus loses those income tax revenue and that investment in the community, it hurts that place that even New Albany benefits from having a strong downtown, a strong South Side.
And I think it's such a great point. I don't know of a region in the world that you can look at and say that a region's successful if it doesn't have a strong urban core. The Port of Columbus is a regional port, the airport. You know, the things that we talk about, COSI, Battelle, OSU, their regional assets. And we just, 250 years ago, we drew lines on a map and we called them certain things, cities, villages, townies, or townships. And they're critically important for our political or governance structure, but they're not so important, particularly nowadays, for some of the big issues that we have to deal with. And the only way we can deal with them is on a regional basis.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My co-host today is Alex Fisher. He's president and CEO of Columbus Partnership. We're talking about what's happening in economic development in the Central Ohio region. If you have a question or comment for us, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Also joining us is Kenny McDonald. He's CEO of Columbus 2020. And Chester Jordan, he's Executive Director of the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. And Mike and Marion, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good
morning.
It's an interesting discussion. I found the last series of comments very, very positive in the fact that if we gain jobs, say, up here in Marion, it's a net win for the area. And sadly, I think too many times that we pit each other against each other and then we all lose. But a focus I wanted to make, or a comment I wanted to focus on, I should say, is mm-hmm. that, yes, Columbus is a cool town. I'm nobody from nowhere, but we go to Columbus quite frequently for all the positives that have been talked about. But I think one thing that sometimes kind of goes under the radar screen with those in economic development, I'm going to bring up an example. Agriculture is big in Ohio, gigantic. Ohio is the last state going east that you can do anything on a big scale. And our unique position towards the eastern seaboard gives us beneficial transportation advantages. But just in the last month or two, mm-hmm. a company called Pioneer Hybrid announced a research location going into the Plain City area. And those are going to be jobs that are serious research and scientific jobs, which hopefully those play into what we're trying to do here in Central Ohio. But I say all this to make a long story even long. I know they don't have the cool factor, and I'm sure many people in this audience are dismayed with genetically modified crops and so on and so forth, but I found it to be a big announcement, to tell you the truth.
No, I tell you what, you've
said anything.
You've got a lot of people nodding your head.
That's like being in a room of bobbleheads
now, Mike. In terms of the impact of agriculture and what agribusiness can mean and does mean in Central Ohio and its future. Chester?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. If you look at Central Ohio, our population is 2 million throughout our region, but 1.1 million of that is in one county. Once you get outside of Franklin County, you get pretty rural pretty quickly. If you go to Union County, we think a lot about Honda, but their number one economic driver in Union County is agriculture. If you think about Battelle, think about what Battelle does. OSU, we have the largest land-grant institution in the world sitting right here in our backyard. Extension Service, it is about agriculture. It will continue to be about agriculture. And even here in Central Ohio, the driver of our economy, I would argue, is going to be agribusiness, biotechnology kind of businesses that will want to come here because of the synergy that's created around these institutions.
Kenny? Battelle just finished a study for this region that concluded that about 17% of our economy is in agribiosciences. And I'm a farm kid from Montana, and I can tell you that probably the most global and most innovative industry in the world is centered around agriculture. So when we go to Pickaway County and we visit Morrow County, and we're visiting even assets in Delaware County and right here at OSU, with about 98% of the state's ag research going on here, we've got tremendous assets to be leveraged there, and we're beginning to work on that right now.
Thank you, Mike, for that call. Yeah,
and only, though, Ann, if we tell the story. I mean, so I think what the caller appropriately points out with Pioneer Hybrid is if we don't give the exposure that those investments are occurring here, we're going to suboptimize our opportunities to win other projects like it.
I want to get to another call real quick because it goes to another, I think, an ancillary issue. Bruce from Trotwood, that's in a Dayton suburb. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on today.
You bet.
Fascinating that the previous caller was right along the same lines as I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Farmland preservation is really important, especially for us here in Ohio, but also for feeding the world. We have yet to be hearing too much discussion about things like what Portland, Oregon has done with an urban growth boundary. And I know that runs counter to a lot of the economic development concepts that we talk about trying to attract business. But how can we combine these economic development processes into a land use planning process which preserves farmland, reuses abandoned developed land that can never be used for farming, and move our economic development ahead with those things in mind.
Chester Jordan?
Yeah, great comments. I mean, sometimes we'll drive by down a rural road and we'll look to the left and we see this big open field out there with corn. We see that as undeveloped land. but it's not undeveloped land. It's very productive land. It's land that drives our economy. And so I think one of the comments that was mentioned was about Portland. A couple of days ago, I was in a meeting with George Beard, who's from Portland State, who does, he's really involved in what's happening, economic development, between the Portland, City of Portland and Portland State there. And we were in a conversation here at OSU talking about these very issues, the tremendous opportunity we have. MORPC has an agriculture specialist on staff full-time. We're doing farmland preservation, just the things he talked about. We're working the legislature on something called transfer development rights, protect farmland. So, again, it goes back to about redeveloping our downtowns. It's just not downtown Columbus. It's downtown Columbus, downtown Marysville, downtown Delaware. And not thinking about that open land that's out there that happens to be under soybeans or production crops or even local foods, which is a big, big driver, I feel like, in the future for our economy, to not think of that as undeveloped land.
So, Chester, there are lots of farming communities all throughout the Midwest, but perhaps very few that are within a day's drive of two-thirds of the U.S. and Canadian population. Talk about the investments of our physical infrastructure, our roads, our rail, ensuring we've got appropriate air service to not only ag-based economic development, but economic development of all types.
Yeah, Alex, I think you almost hit the nail right on the head. Our luncheon today, the theme of it is transportation means business. Well, there's a lot of connotations to that, but one of those is exactly what you just said. There's a farm operation down in Fayette County. It's called Bluegrass Farms. They sell soybeans. Well, they happen to sell soybeans, 80% of them grown by local farmers, to Japan. Now, how do they get that there? Well, it comes in between logistics. So there's this rail car that comes in from Norfolk, Virginia, comes into Rickenbacker with goods and services on it. It's emptied out. It's busted open. We take that empty rail car. Now we take it down to Fayette County, load soybeans on it, take it down to Cincinnati, put it on the water, and we ship it to Japan. I mean, it is about local farmers, but it's also about access and capabilities to the world. And what that allows us to do has got to be the infrastructure piece of that. It's the logistics piece of that. It's our roads. It's our bridges. It's our railroads. It's our intermodal yards. It's about investing in the things today so we can be able to compete, as Kenny's talking about, in the world environment tomorrow. But the building blocks of that is transportation.
So with $5 a gallon gasoline, and who knows where the end is, what's that mean to strategic distribution points in those communities as economic hubs?
We've been given a tremendous gift, and that is our physical location. What we do with it, the infrastructure that we put in place, the leverage in how we market that is up to us.
This is being surrounded almost by water. What do you mean by location? The center of the
our access to the just about 60% of the U.S. business population in eastern Canada gives us a tremendous opportunity. But we have to continue to invest and reinvest in infrastructure so we can leverage that location and bring businesses and jobs to Central Ohio.
I wanted to get to an email from Bob. And by the way, Bruce and Trotwood, thank you very much for your call. Bob writes, Columbus is, in my experience, dominated by business think. For example, business first. Can your guest imagine out loud what Columbus might look like if leaders here adopted a vision of transforming capitalism by creating values that can be shared by both companies and communities? In effect, do you think that making business second, tied with community, might lead Columbus business to a better first place finish, which is an interesting set of metaphors there. But I think a lot of people perceive that in Austin or in Portland or in Seattle and all these cool places.
Yeah, now look,
that's
what
they're doing.
I was one of the featured speakers yesterday at the Columbus Metropolitan Club. And the topic was arts and culture and their impact on economic development, the fact that they create the foundation for the business successes. Businesses choose to locate where people are. People choose to locate where they want to live, work, play, pray, and be educated. And I'll tell you, we have fabulous assets that span all spectrums. The diversity of our population, the tolerance of our people on different lifestyles, the fact that we have 125,000 college students in our community, the fact that you have places like the Short North and German Village as unique urban locations combined with the New Albany's and Dublin's of our community. I think the total mix is what makes Columbus really, really distinctive. And so I don't think it's necessarily fair to say it's simply about big business or about business. I think it's about business. I think it's about lifestyle. I think it's about good government and making sure that you as a community have the mix of all of the above.
Chester, I know you've got to go. You've got to get to that
little lunch.
That fancy lunch you have down there at the Hyatt Regency, right, downtown. But I was improving civic infrastructure was one of the is one of the four critical pillars to Columbus 2020. Identifying the investments and public policy efforts necessary to improve the components of civic infrastructure most aligned with our region's economic development process, progress that goes on, i.e. taxation, education, workforce, and transportation. And when it comes to transportation, what is envisioned as a standard bearer? How does that play into the all-important quality of life function? There's a lot of folks who are responding yesterday to whether Ohio is cool or not are very chagrined about the decision to, you know, give back the funding for the passenger rail in Ohio, for decisions about nixing funding for streetcars in Cincinnati. We heard from people from Cincinnati about that. Chester, what are we thinking about when it comes to transportation and what's
again, I think this is we got to reset our column, our calibration here. Again, we say, well, we look at Cleveland or we look at Cincinnati or we look at Indiana or we look at North Carolina, whatever the case is, and we say, well, we're doing okay. I mean, we've got good highways. We've got a pretty good public transit, pretty good bus system. You know, we're investing in bikeways. We're cool there. We're doing some walking stuff. We're adding sidewalks now. But I think we've set our bar too low here. And we end up pitting, as we do with local communities, we end up pitting a lot of times our transportation modes against each other. Mm-hmm. So we say it's got to be either or. For us, what we argue for is we've got to create a 21st century transportation system second to none that allows us to compete in the global marketplace. And that's critical investments. So we politicize things. So we say we put certain connotations on certain kinds of transportation modes. So if it's rail, it must be this, or if it's highways, it must be that. I think part of it is we've got to get away from that and look at it through a lens of what's going to allow us to be economically competitive.
We've got to take a break, and we've got to say goodbye to Chester Jordan, and of Executive Director of the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Chester, thanks for joining us. I know you're on your way out.
Anytime. Thanks, Ann.
And also Kenny McDonald. He's CEO of Columbus 2020. Kenny, thanks for being here today.
Appreciate it.
And still with me, Alex Fisher, President and CEO of Columbus Partnership. He is my co-host today. When we return, Gordon Gee, OSU's president. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
There are many ways to get the latest local news. Follow WOSU News on Twitter or find WOSU on Facebook. Get headlines delivered to your email by subscribing to our daily news loop e-newsletter at wosu.org/email.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of All Sides begins. Almost a billion people around the world live without safe drinking water or adequate sanitation. The result? A child dies needlessly every 20 seconds. What should we do about the global water crisis? That discussion begins at 11 on All Sides with Ann Fisher, here on 89.7 NPR News. And be sure to watch Columbus on the Record Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson and a panel of news reporters and political analysts talk about the top stories of the week. Tune in to WOSU-TV for Columbus on the Record tomorrow night at 8:30. And it's 45 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and a high of 56. There is a chance of rain tonight, a low of 38 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Friday. Heavy rain is possible at times and a high of 58. Showers and thunderstorms for Friday night and a low of 50 degrees, and the rain sticks around for the weekend. Showers on Saturday and a high of 72. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My co-host today is Alex Fisher. He's president and CEO of Columbus Partnership. He won a bet, so he gets to be co-host with me today. We're talking about regional economic development. Is it a sprint? Is it a marathon? And who gets involved? And Alex, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Well, we've talked about 125,000 college students in our community, second only to Boston. The Ohio State University, the largest comprehensive university in America, a top 10 research institution, in the ranks of MIT and Stanford and second only to Duke University. We've been talking about the need to position against our great assets. Time magazine recently named E. Gordon Gee the number one president of an institution of higher learning. He is our guest. Gordon, welcome.
You know, I never.
That must be. I tell you something. You read that very well, just exactly the way I wrote it. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, first we've got to get down to business. Can you believe that Ann picked Kentucky over the Ohio State University in the March Madness?
Yeah, let me tell you something, Ann. You know, you're on a very short leash over there. Remember, my name is still on your paycheck somewhere, I'm sure. So we'll have to rethink this.
But you said that as long as, you know, I'm Big Ten, it's we're all one big family, right?
Yeah, but Kentucky's not Big Ten.
Well, no, but...
they're in that dreaded Southeastern Conference.
Okay, let's get down to business. Gordon, OSU, as you know, you mentioned in the stats, is a huge economic driver, not only for our region, but our entire state. Tell us a little bit about your vision about how to bring that to life for economic development.
Well, first of all, and I don't say this just because Alex is on the... on the telephone, let me just say, Ann, to you that one of the greatest human assets we have in this community is Alex Fisher. He has, in a very short period of time, directed us, turned us upside down and inside out. And I think that the energy and the growth that we're starting to feel in this community is very much being carried on his shoulders, along with obviously a number of other people. But Alex is the spark. Saying that, one of the things that we have done is that Alex has fortunately become a very strong partner with the university. In fact, he is a non-paid senior officer of the university, focusing on economic development. And the reason is this: I mean, this is not just because of the fact that I value his friendship, because more importantly, I value his leadership. And what we really made a determination several years ago was that the university really needed to move outside of its isolation, even though it's a great land-grant institution, and really pour its heart and soul into developing strategies that take the great ideas we create here, as you just heard. You know, we're a top 10 research university, and move those ideas into reality through commercialization, through technology transfer, through working with communities and community building. And so the vision for us is to return to the first principles of the land grant tradition, which is Abraham Lincoln, when he signed that land grant, when he signed that Morrell Act, that land grant bill, he said, you know, in the end, it's not about race. It's not about, it's not about culture. It's about making a difference in communities and then making life livable and opening up the American dream to everyone. I'm quoting liberally, but saying that, and Alex, I really do think that that's what we're about right now. And I think that because of the unique nature of Columbus in the heartland of this country and in the heartland of this state, we have an opportunity to not only do it well, but to do it long range in ways that very few people can, or very few places can, and very few people can make that happen.
So the mutual admiration fan club between the two of us is certainly reciprocal. But let me go to a pointed question. As great as the university is in research, and as powerful it is as an institution, when you rank it with other institutions from a commercialization standpoint,
we're awful.
OSU's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, we're awful.
What are we going to do about it?
Well, what we're doing about it is that we went out and, first of all, we did a very smart thing. Instead of just saying, we need to do this better, and then kind of doing it the way every other institution has been trying to do it, we're very fortunate to have some very smart people, starting with Chris Poon on our campus, who came out of Johnson & Johnson, as a vice chairman, led one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, and her area was commercialization. Ask her, as the Dean of Fisher, to work closely with her colleagues and herself and develop a strategy. They have done that, and then we went out and said we're going to find the very best person in the country, stalked the guy, literally, by the name of Brian Cummings, who had taken Texas to places very few thought they could go, and then took the University of Utah, interestingly enough, to the number one site in the country, ahead of the kind of traditional powerhouses of MIT and Stanford. And he's joining us June 1, and so we have a great strategy in place, and we have a great leader in place. Now we just need to invest in this, and we're going to do that. We're looking at ourselves raising $100 million for an academic investment fund, and we're looking at a number of partners. I think that now we have the will as well as the resources to make a real difference.
So, Gordon, people do make a difference. We've got our Columbus 2020 strategy, and we've recruited Kenny McDonald. You've got a new commercialization strategy, and Brian's going to be a home run. The governor's got a strategy called Jobs Ohio, and he's recruited a guy named Mark Kwame. Can you give us your impressions of the governor's plans on economic development and Mark Kwame from Sequoia Capital joining our community?
Yeah, well, I'm a great fan of that strategy because what it is, it's out of the box. It, again, to use the term, it's what Alex Fisher has done. Hopefully I'm doing some of that, is turning the issue upside down and taking a look at it in a totally different way. And I think that the evidence is very clear. I mean, we just had that Diebold announcement. We just, the American greeting card announcement. Mm-hmm. I think we got a lot of energy. Mark Kwame, a dollar a year guy who frankly, doesn't have to do this. It's that issue of getting really talented people from wherever they come. He happens to be from California, but I can tell you he's gotten himself embedded here, and he is fabulous. He unfortunately had an accident, which I immediately offered to do surgery on. He didn't take me up on it, but he's doing great, and I think that combination of the university, 2020, our friends in Cleveland, our friends in Cincinnati, other places, I think that this Jobs Ohio approach is exactly the right thing at the right time.
Hey, Gordon, you just stay away from both coaching football and from doing any surgery, and just keep your room in the university.
One thrust of Columbus 2020 is to improve idea generation and, among other things, transform technology commercialization at OSU, grow a base of researchers, and increase the pipeline of inventions and patents. I've got that from their prospectus. And you've talked about these issues before, Gordon. How do you do all of that and still maintain the intellectual independence of a university like OSU? And likewise, are you concerned at all about government getting too much in the pockets of business? In other words, in part of Jobs Ohio is the idea that the state would invest in businesses that it thinks should be here. And some people think that's not a really proper use of government resources. And then there is that intellectual issue at the university level. Do you want to be commercialized?
And I've been a university president for 30 years. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of this. Mm-hmm. And in all of that time, I've never, ever once had some CEO of some company come to me and say, hey, listen, we'll pay you to do some research, and by the way, come up with the results we want to. The issue of partnership, the world we live in right now is a much different one than when I entered it 30 years ago. In order to be able to thrive as a university, in order to be a great intellectual institution and a great academic powerhouse, we are going to have to partner. And by the way, partnership is really what university should be about. It's about a university. It's not about isolation. It's not about arrogance. It's not about we know how to do the world better than other places. Yeah, we need to always make certain that what we're doing is we're doing it with integrity. We're doing it based upon where the world takes us. But to think about us not having relationships, and particularly for us not taking ideas that we create here and then turning them into opportunities for jobs and creativity, and keeping our faculty here and rewarding them for doing that. Because what has happened very often is the fact that you lose a number of your faculty members because universities will not get into that game. I do not intend on having that. I love the faculty that we have here, and I want them to stay here and be part of our energy and growth.
Are you concerned about the perpetuation, though, of pure research that's not done for a commercial purpose and going avenues, and how to preserve that?
Well, there are two different issues here we're mm-hmm. talking about. One is the commercialization side of research. The second, obviously, is basic research. You can't create ideas without both. The basic research, and we made a decision in this country in 1948 that we were going to turn to the federal government to fund basic research and do it through universities, unlike the way they do it in Japan, unlike the way they do it in China, unlike the way that they do it in a variety of other places. And so that partnership between the federal government and universities is very important. What I'm concerned about is the fact that in this budgetary cycle that we're in, that we're making choices in which we are being fairly short-sighted I believe that we have to get our budget under control. I believe that we have to make the kinds of sacrifices that are necessary. But you don't make it on the back of ideas. The only thing that will differentiate this country from any other place is whether we can produce enough ideas to make sure that we can produce enough opportunity for our people. That is what's going to differentiate us.
Gordon, 80 years ago, there was another Gordon in our community that made a huge impact by creating a little institution across the street from his alma mater,
Gordon Battelle. Right.
The world's largest research and development organization, for all practical purposes, co-located with the nation's largest and most comprehensive university. In our closing minutes, perhaps you could comment on the power of that relationship and what it can mean for us.
Well, let me comment on the power that it hasn't been for a long period of time. You know, during my first term, 1990, I came here. Patel's interesting. I knew a little bit about it. I couldn't spell it. They couldn't spell Ohio State. We really had no relationship whatsoever. There was this kind of Maginot line. Return in 2007 had a great leader, Carl Court, and then they brought in this fabulous guy by the name of Jeff Wadsworth. And we have a joint vice president. Blake Thompson, he is a vice president of Ohio State, he's a vice president at Battelle, and the purpose for us is to think creatively how we synergetically work very closely with each other, and we're doing a lot of things, both individually and collectively, and we're looking at now even common facilities. So all of a sudden, you take the power of that research entity, which, as Alex said, is the largest of its kind in the world, and you take Ohio State, and all of a sudden, we become a huge aircraft carrier, and we're all sailing in the same direction.
Gordon, you are one of the most fabulous spokespeople. You're one of the best leaders that I've ever known. Thank you for taking a few moments out and for all that you and the Ohio State University mean to not only our community but the economic future of our state. And as I think you could tell from all of our guests today, one of the key things is that we have to celebrate all the good about Central Ohio, join forces together to drive our economic future.
Well, Gordon Gee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and thank you both. I really am honored to be with you.
Appreciate it. Alex Fisher, President and CEO of Columbus Partnership, you won the bet, and I thought it was a win-win situation. Thanks again for your financial support for WOSU, and thanks for joining me as a co-host today. I appreciate it.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for what you do, Ann.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.